Hello. Hello. Yellow. Hello.
When I become death, death is the seed from which I grow. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh, Lord.
You little bitch! Let me out of this goddamn bird cage!
Little bitch! Is that all the thanks I get? I got you a hook, didn't I? Mother will kill me as it is!
Who cares about your stinking mother? She stole my gator away, but she ain't gonna get me. And I'll thank you for this fucking hook after I rip her eyes out with it. Give me something to eat.
There's no food here. Mother doesn't buy food for me. You want an egg? There might be a couple old eggs in the kitchen.
No, I don't want no goddamn eggs.
Yeast Radio is made possible by the generous support of the Robert Wood Johnson Company, makers of prosthetic Wood Johnsons for more than half a century. Because nothing feels better than wood.
Making guilt work. Underlying all techniques of Jewish motherhood is the ability to plant, cultivate, and harvest guilt. Control guilt, and you control the child. There is an old saying,
spank your child every day. If you don't know what he's done to deserve the spanking, he will.
A slight modification gives us the Jewish mother's cardinal rule.
Let your child hear you sigh every day. If you don't know what he's done to make you suffer, he will.
This is the basic facial expression. Learn it well. Practice it before a mirror several times a day. If anyone should catch you at it and ask what you are doing, say,
oh, I'm fine. It's nothing at all. It'll go away.
This is the basic tone of voice.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness.
Keeps repeating himself.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Nutty, nutty, nutty.
Hello. Am I on this thing? Well, I'm at the Cocoa Darrell. And I'm using a different computer, a different installation of the Ableton Gable. which is the software I use on my computer to record. I had only spent 3 weeks uploading, so it, of course, had not even finished one third. I'm up to like 6,000 something songs, and they're not even songs. They're just shit. They're this kind of, you know, like what I was just playing, kind of clips. Well, I wish there were more of that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I have nothing to discuss. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I never do in the beginning. Yeah. But, you know, I'm really trying to work up somewhat of a pattern, you know, like maybe start with like 2 programs a week from the East and maybe more than that and later on we get more. We get more and more programs until we have 7 a day. This kind of thing there. Yes, nibblong. And so what else? You like that noise, all the noise you're not supposed to make. Mic noise. Certain person, Andy Vera, to remain nameful, hates when I make mic noise. But she's too good for my program, so she doesn't listen anyway. Although she's probably listening now because she's extremely judgmental. Though she doesn't really need to be a part of this conversation with myself. If I'm that desperate that I have to talk about her, I'm in a serious mental department of illness. Yes, I am. Now, first of all, I found out something lovely this morning. As you know, I have frequently blogged and discussed and podcast about. By the way, I'm finding lately I just don't type well. You know, I can write, but I have to like write and edit right. Like, I just don't really do blog posts well because it always comes out wrong and missing apostrophes and kind of fucked up, and it never really seems to express myself properly, which is frustrating because, you know, I feel like I do know how to write when I edit a few times. Yeah, well. So, do I like doing this? No, but I can't afford a therapist. So, you know, I closed in my condominium, which was kind of devastating, actually. It was kind of sad. Like, I thought, oh, I'm losing my property. You know, but I can look at it that way, or I can use this as an opportunity to prolapse. I mean, to, like... Like, I can turn this into something really amazing if I use this opportunity for something that this new freedom affords me, which is the ability to move, basically. It's difficult. And anybody who's listening to the shows knows that I've been bitching and complaining and going... There's nothing more annoying than listening to a person complain about the same fucking thing over and over again, except maybe listening to the same person saying the same thing over and over again for 5 or 6 years. God, I started this program almost, well, let's see, 2004 in November. My God, how many years is that? 6, 7 years ago, almost. 7. This is my 7th year of this crap. Are you kidding me? This podcasting? November 2004. Are you kidding me? You are kidding me, aren't you? I'm not going to worry too much about these clips. I do have a couple more. I want to play Sermon on the Mount Part 3. Eventual. Hey. Couple more taffies of retard things, maybe some I like the Adele, and I like everybody I know likes the Adele, but then I listened to her whole album for the first time. There were only 2 songs that I like. The rest sound popified, mummified, and why is it in order for make a large group of people like something, you have to turn it into a shit? You know, not shit, I mean, not really, but you know what I'm talking about. Shittier. It's weird. Yeah, the problem with averages is they kind of create this stupid bunch of shit that is evil and bad and wrong. Averages, you know? Take a bunch of diverse, interesting people and you smush them together and create one, like, average person. Pretty boring, which is kind of like what I guess what a lot of people feel like God is just this collective. Which means God's really boring and likes reality TV and, like, you know, highly compressed pop music. It's kind of depressing. Like, if there is, like, a higher truth, it sure as hell sucks. I mean, maybe it's better than that. Maybe we can't figure it out. Maybe I can't, but maybe you know what it is because you have a really intelligent grinder profile or something. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. So, what else? What was I? Not else. There's nothing else. You can't say what else when you didn't even talk to him about anything in the fucking first place. So I'm here at the Coke dorm. I'm not really working that hard because they're so far behind and paying me. I really don't want to get them any more behind. And, you know, so anyway, so we're talking about, so I called, so I had this unique opportunity to get the fuck out of this country, which is something, it's so hard and it's so necessary. Because when I think about in my life right now, if I have a fantasy or a dream, I mean, the only one I really have now is really just me and Trotsky living in Amsterdam. That's pretty much it. You know, there's nice things in my head. You know, it would be nice to, like, have some financial security in my life. That would be really nice to have, like, a job. To have fame on top of that, to have a job on the radio, like a real radio where you actually get paid. That would be cool. But, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was foraging for food in my sister's closet. I think they were figs, which really are just like prunes for people that don't want to admit they're constipated. Who don't want to admit they're constipated? And people without vaginas, you know, because when you have a vagina, it's okay to admit you're constipated. But even though I have a vagina, I like figs because they come in nicer packages than prunes. Prune juice. My grandmother used to go to the oldie and she'd buy two bottles of prune juice in a row. I mean, at the same time, and she'd get very angry when some old lady would be in front of her, moving too slow. Slow down, move too fast. You gotta make the morning, cause you're drinking prune juice. prune juice, no, grandbaby today. So Ableton never got back to me and the problems I was having. I am using a beta software program called Ableton Live 8.2. Cinco. Third Reich. Oh, wow. Whose girdle hurts mine? Whose girdle hurts mine? Whose girdle hurts and stinkin' minances. Minance a girdle stink. So anyway, so the point is, really, you know, I've got a couple leads. One in particular, which would be amazing, is to live in the same apartment building in the RLD as the Mindcast dude, which would be amazing in Amsterdam. Of course, the biggest logistical problem in all this, aside from money, is... Oh, I was talking about the figs in the closet. Right? I need to get to that first, because I'll remember the Trotsky thing and the RLD. Is that I was in the closet and I thought, you know what? I always worry about the future, because my future always looks like it's going to suck. But my present, i.e. now, is pretty much, unless somebody's dying, which hasn't happened lately, knock on wood, my present is usually pretty good. My future always sucks, but my present is pretty good, which is probably kind of a good thing. But that seems so wrong and irresponsible and contra to what I was raised, which is that you prepare for the future and you sacrifice the present for your future. That's called savings. You know, and it certainly makes sense, and in theory I agree with it, but if I live that way, it kind of makes me miserable, less miserables, as Beavis and Butthead once described. The name of the musical, Les Miserables. And, yeah, Cheryl and I have had an interesting little discussion with somebody who is in high places. Without being too specific, let's just say there's somebody who better not be trying to steal our shit, or there's going to be hell to pay. Okay? So if that's you, and you know who you are, remember, I'm Jewish, and I know lots of lawyers who work for free for me. So don't fuck with me. Anyway, that's neither go or good girdle. So where was I? That may or may not have been based on reality. This is Remember a Show based on Your Mother with Stink Hair and Blubber Cunt. Blubber Cunt. Can you hear the L in the background right near the Sheridan Red Line stop? President Obama was like less than a mile away yesterday at the Arrogant Ballroom celebrating his 50th fucking birthday party. Yay! Whoopee! Saddam Hussein has cancer! Whoopee! So, I didn't go. I wasn't invited, but I didn't go anyway. I didn't care. I mean, I cared only in a bad way. Like, ugh, what an asshole. Brian Place thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread, always giving him the benefit of the doubt, and thinking he's got this brilliant strategy that makes all these, that will make bad moves, all these bad moves he's making make sense. Like, he just, like, hired an attorney general for the state of Utah who's this fucking Tea Party monster. Like, what? Yeah, you're great, President Obama. You're really doing good. So I say to all these President Obama apologists, roll up your sleeves and get to campaign headquarters, because there's a lot of people that are going to leave that you have to cover for that are pissed at them. So get to work. Get to work. And you know what? If you want to see the bright side, maybe you're right. Maybe it'll all work out great. But based on my experience as a lesbian, I don't think so. Based on Bill Clinton, his, you know, it's funny because the last time I left and moved to Europe permanently, not really was, I mean, really I did permanently, when it was when Clinton was president. It's always the fucking Democrats that really piss me off, because at least when there's a Republican, I can at least have some semblance of hope, even though it's not often apparent. But anyway, so the thing of it is that my vagina mostly smells. Uh-huh. It do be stinking, and I don't know that that's always a good thing. It can be a bad thing. It can be a girdle. But so, yes. So the present is pretty much okay. So maybe I should just ignore what everything everybody. I mean, everybody's pretty much always wrong anyway. And it's like, all I have to get from here, I mean, really when it comes down to it, we all die at the end. You can't take anything with you. So it's basically getting from here to death with the least amount of pain possible to myself and to other people. And God forbid, happiness. So really, do I have to save zillions of dollars? No, I just need to survive. I need to survive. That's all. I need to survive without having survival be the only thing. Although, even if survival is the only thing that really I'm thinking about, it's certainly better than being bored. Which is what happens to rich people, which they just get bored and hate life and they hoard their money because they have nothing to work for, you know, except for maybe to pay for their, what do you call that, angioplasty, you know, that kind of thing. And their Viagra from their death, can't deal with death. Anxiety manifests itself strangely in the idle wealthy. You know, I really don't mind rich people. I mean, I think it's great. I really don't. I just don't like rich people who are assholes and who want to fucking deprive other people. Like, I defriended somebody I never even knew I was friends with on the Facebook because he was bitching about how much he hates Matt Damon because Matt Damon is in favor of tenure for teachers. I'm just like, you know what? How can you be against tenure? You know what? You're so afraid of people taking advantage of like the tiniest advantage of the systems, but not, it's just fucking brainwashing and brainwashing. You know, you're just fucking, prudence. Yes. Anyway, grandbaby. So the bottom line, back to this Europe thing, is that American Airlines, you know, I travel with Trotsky all the time. The thing is, I wanted to bring him with me, but I don't want him to travel below on the thing in the cargo hold. That just scares me. That just really scares me. I can't see that being anything but pure terror for him and for me, for that matter. But I found out that on Iberia Airlines, you can take him on board as a pet. I mean, as a cabin. As long as the carrier plus dog don't weigh more than 8 kilos. kilograms. Kilograms. So let me look at my calculator. I think that's okay because Trotsky weighs, he'll go on a diet for this. I mean, it's worth it. Let's see. Units. Units. Farfik nuclet. Yes, yes, yes. Let's see. Weight. Is that what it's called? Weight or mass or something? Mass. Weight. 8 kilograms. 8 kilograms. 8 kilograms is 17.6 pounds. Oh, we're good. I'm pretty sure we're good. I mean, it'll be close. He weighs like 14 alps, and then, but including the carrier, so I think we'll be all right. I just have to take all the duty bags out of the ore. And anyway, so but Iberia, I can do that. So, which means, and there's probably other airlines that do it too, but I need an airline that works with American Airlines in terms of flight miles so I can fly for free. So, well, it's not free because Trotsky costs $150 for the Bielsnith. But so, big deal. So I fly to Madrid, then I take a train to Amsterdam. That sounds fun. I got a friend in Madrid anyway. I know he allows doggies in the house. Anyway, so back to my vagina. So that's good. I really, what I need now is, you know, I don't know what's going on with the world. The thing is, I thought I heard somebody come in, DDM or something. But so the problem is this in my life. I often, despite the fact that I am a selfish being, I often find myself making decisions in my life that benefit other people and what they want for me to do instead of myself. Particularly, like, for example, in college, I went and studied business. I had absolutely no desire to do that. I did that to please family. I have this weird, and maybe it's being a Jewish being, a Jew being, is that, you know, it's really important to impress one's parents and make them proud and all that shit, when it's really hopeless anyway for me. But so my parents were really helpful in getting me to sell this house and all this shit. And they're really kind of expecting me to move to Florida, but I kind of don't really want to. I mean, I guess I do. I like it there, and it's warm, and it's beautiful, and it's gorgeous, but I've never really been able to make friends there. I mean, really. I mean, I have one friend there, but not like a friend that you go out and hang out with, more like an inside friend, you know, and family, yeah, but it just feels like, I don't know. You know what? That's not even it. Miami's okay, I guess, except it's horrible and it's not really. It's just so fucking, why is it so fucking hard? No matter how much I talk to myself and berate others, it's so fucking hard to be honest with my oneness self. I do like the idea of going to Los Angeles, but only if it can be a good career move. The weather's gorgeous and I do have friends there. That's important. Trotsky would love it. But the problem is, in the negatives, car, huge negative. You have to have a car, let's face it. Huge negative number two. Huge. It's in America. This is the biggest encompassing piece of yuck in the whole thing right now. Also, New York. Love to live in New York. Amazing, amazing. Love the place. Probably in terms of personality in the world, it's probably the best place, Firma. But again, it's in America. I don't know. A lot of people don't think that's a big deal. But it really, it's probably, of all the factors that go into what I'm going to do next, I think that's probably the biggest. Like, I really, 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 really have a problem with this country, what's going on here. I really do. And other countries do have problems. But from the people I know who expatriated, I don't really know anybody who's expatriating back to America. Well, that's not true. I know somebody who is coming back to L.A. from living in France for work, for her husband's work. But I think that's a little different, you know. They're not coming back because, well, France is a terrible country and America's so just wonderful with its killing people. I don't know. It's just that this country just sucks. I don't like the people here. I don't like the spirit here. I think if there's nothing I've made clearer in the past 7 years of programming, that's it. I'm just fucking sick of it. And I feel like I'll always be a hypocrite if I'm here complaining about it. Always. You know, I feel like, and as far as protest goes, I think that might be the only protest that even matters for me is to leave. For me. You know, other people, like somebody was talking about on the Facebook yesterday, saying she teaches high school. I mean, that's fantastic. That's great, but it's not me. You know, maybe instill some sense of some ability to self-analyze, criticize, and all that kind of business. I have something. Let's go get something to drink. Yeah, before we ant. We're having a nice little talk, you and me. So, yeah. So, here I am at the Coco dorm, trying to figure it out. Trying to use my knowledge of myself, which tells me that no matter what, I don't know myself. No matter what I say, by saying something certainly won't make it happen. It'll just make me more embarrassed that it doesn't. So all I can do is take this revelation I had yesterday about living in the present and making that something that functions for me, knowing that my present is always pretty good, usually. Yeah. It's a tricky thing. The present is always mostly good, always. Mostly good, if you're living in it. And that's one thing I have that learned from doing the yoga and all this and that. And it's also really hard to do what you need to do and not for other people, which may sound strange coming from a cut loose, finger banging lesbian like myself. I'm making a monster beverage. This is the lemonade flavor. I went to the 7-Eleven and asked them for, excuse me, could you please order the lemonade kind of rehab, it's called, with the 10 calories because it makes you duty. Need that. So, I guess. And also, by doing this program, I'm trying to reestablish my worldwide network. Because I always had a nice worldwide audience. And I think that by doing shows so infrequently as I have been doing, and, you know, changing the nature of the shows to the group shows on Fridays with Sherelle, which I probably love as much, if not more than these, but it's not the same. It doesn't create the same kind of community when you're doing a more of like a, you know, a duty show, if I'm saying it right, duty, like duty, you know, piece of duty, like they, like a piece of duty kind of show. So I don't know. I guess Vintard and take my iced tea, my fake iced tea with duty. But you know what? Sometimes I just have to stick myself with a vision. And with this regard, people have been giving me some very helpful comments in the podcast website, yeastradio.com, by the way. You know, I really do appreciate it. The comments from people who've known me, not the bitchy cunt comments, like that don't even listen to the show. They're like, why don't you stop talking about pussies and vaginas? Like, hello, I've been doing other shows for weeks now, so shut the fuck up. I'm not talking about that, but people who are giving friendly kind of advice without really giving advice. You know, that kind of nudging, the nudging spirits. They always stand to the right of you. And anybody who can help, what I really would like is, the way I realistically see that, I got to piss my joint while I'm talking. The way I really see this happening is, I need like a place to stay for like 2 weeks to 3 months. I'm sorry. Oh, my giner is peeing. I like to stand when I pee and squat over the toilet. That way I get a better angle at the microphone. Because if I'm squatting like a normal woman vaginally does, you don't hear my voice in the same way of a lesbian. So I have to risk getting some vaginal juices. Well, more like urine everywhere, but... But so I need a place to stay for like a month to 3 months so I can get situated with Trotsky. This, everything where I stay has to be dog friendly. Move on. I don't really have money, to tell you the truth. I only came out like with a check for like $1,000 from the closing. So, but I have some credit, and basically what I'm planning to do is kind of just wing it, because really, it's that important to me to get out that I don't even give a shit what it does to me financially. I will do what I have to. Once I commit, once I get my Tootsies and Trotsky's Tootsies out of here and find a place, that's it, you know? Then I'm there. And I'm not going to just come back. You know, it's different from going on a vacay. I don't know, does that make sense? Probably not. It doesn't to me. Let's end this. Be awesome to see what I can find to play with. Let's see what I got here. By the way, Mr. Zichi's songs are available on iTunes. He's been making songs for me for years, and he's amazing, and you'll hear one shortly. First, we're going to go with the part three of this that I played earlier, and then we'll get out of here. Shalom Atov Mitzvah.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Ye have heard, but often said an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Well, of course, this is absolute biological. This is biological suicide.
An island named Suki Ran, which is kind of a Japanese, and near Okinawa. It's a kind of a hunk of coral out there. And I was in charge of these four natives who were out there who had no language and who sat and ate in trees, literally eating leaves, you know, those kind of people. And my job was to save them from communism. And that's right. It ain't easy, you know. Actually, what we wanted to do was get them to fish, you know, get out there and get an organized society, you know, just four of them. Maybe they didn't have any drive, you know. And you give them tests, you know, and you never get anywhere, you know, mental tests or the cooter interest test. That was the one. Which every one of them flunked, I might add, young man. Shows you, no drive, no incentive. So we gave him the test. The idea was actually to organize a society. The strongest two guys would fish. One would make the boats, and the other one would make nets to fish with. Then when they brought in a good catch, they could eat, you know, for the lean winter months, 4 or 5 months, it would be a lot of storms off, they could eat, and then they could have money when they sell a fish to the other two guys to buy a bigger boat, or maybe make a payment, you know, and then, you know, move, and then payments into more boats and more fish. And when we left that island, you know, I remember they had a parade for us and everything, and we went away and we made our report to the Pentagon, which we showed. In 12 short months, we had showed these people how to live off each other instead of the land, which isn't easy. So I remember this, kind of inspiring in its own way. And some of you remember the 32nd Infantry Division, which is a pretty wild outfit, although General MacArthur didn't dig us. As you know, he has a leather jacket. He was in command of Pacific at that time. He has a leather jacket with the patches of all his outfits. But of course, and no jacket is expansive enough for all his subordinate organizations at that time. So he had to screen them. And he'd only put on the ones that were 65% or more. And list these, even when he drafted these, he felt it was a low morale rate, as a matter of fact. So he would, you know, just wear patches like the atomic bomb unit, which used to have a question mark and a large mushroom-shaped cloud done in Angora, you know, off the end of it. That's true. So terrific. So all that, and you know, when he used to have all these terrific credos, the armored, for instance, the armored organizations used to wear a patch. It was nothing but violence. It was so violent that guys would add new violence every month. You know, they'd go out of their minds, just young guys especially, and sadism would feed on sadism, and would have a tank firing a charge and driving over someone's head, obviously the enemy, you know. And the tank commander would be leaning out of the top with a bolt of lightning in one hand and a machine gun, a live machine gun firing in the other, an M3, you know, and then he'd have his shirt off, and if you look minutely with a magnifying glass, you see their fingernail indentations and shoulder blades. You know, a very violent patch. And you know, and he'd wear this, and it would say, you know, trick. So it got so violent that a general from the Pentagon flew in, and he said, you can't do this anymore because a violence feeds on violence. I said before, he said, and it'll be terrible. We're going to standardize. I said, well, how can we tell one outfit from another? So he said, you'll write credos underneath, and you won't write them in Latin. Write them in English so people will get it right away. You know, very commercial. And, you know, guys would write things like Hell on Wheels, the second armored, or We Came to Fight, which is the 48th, and then a lot of dispirited outfits like the 32nd, you know, as I said, which were things like the kind of thing General MacArthur disapproved of, like, it's a living, you know, we're here, and, you know. So, I think, yes, it is inspiring, isn't it? Okay, it's been real good to talk to you, and I understand, I guess Jimmy will be coming back now, and I'm going to come out front, and we'll rub elbows, okay? Okay, we'll see you later. Thank you very much.
Participate in a politics of cynicism, or do we participate in a politics of hope? John Kerry calls on us to hope. John Edwards calls on us to hope. I'm not talking about blind optimism here, the almost willful ignorance that thinks unemployment will go away if we just don't think about it, or healthcare crisis will solve itself if we just ignore it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something more substantial. It's the hope of slaves sitting around a fire singing freedom songs.
I wouldn't suck your lousy dick if I was suffocating and there was oxygen in your balls.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love said to me, I love you, Mr. Zinchi. I love you, Mr. Zinchi. But I don't celebrate Christmas.
Me and Madge Weinstein sailing on a beautiful yacht in the middle of the Caribbean, and it's oh so hot. She looks at me with those big blue Jewish eyes. She says, "Who the fuck are you and where the fuck am I?" It's okay, you're safe. You were with me, Mr. Zichi, in the Caribbean on this beautiful, beautiful yacht. Everything's gotta be okay. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. I don't wanna let you go. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. I don't wanna let you go! I don't wanna let you go! Let me go, Mr. Zichi. Let me go, Mr. Zichi. You're not going anywhere. You just stay here. Everything's gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be right, Mitch. I don't wanna let you go.